Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Those two? You gotta be kidding.
Everybody, this is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 2, Buffalo Gals. And now here are two non-Buffalo gals, as far as I know. I don't know what that means. Try your answer, everybody.
Oh my God. It's like you just got up.
Kind of, yeah. And okay, so full disclosure, I'm a little punchy. But also, I didn't go pee before we started, so I'm going to be doing a little manic pee dance throughout the episode.
Why didn't you?
So who knows how this episode's going to go? Having a full bladder makes Dave sing.
You have to pee all the time. Yeah. Why would you not pee?
Because I'm always pushing fluids.
Niagara Falls, beautiful Niagara Falls. Millions of gallons of water. Dave, don't think about them.
Should we just do some site business so that you can go do some site business?
Well.
Full of urine. All right. Have at it. Bye.
Hi, Sarah.
Clomp, clomp.
Hi, Sarah.
How's it going?
I'm not going to have to sing more, am I?
No.
No one's ever going to download this again.
No. It feels like a good time to remind people that if they go on iTunes or their podcast app of choice and give us a nice review, it helps other listeners to find us and it makes us feel good. You can also go to glarkware.com and buy t-shirts inspired by this podcast, including Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know, Don't Be Such a Squeef, and also The Blaze. A lot of parents read it, and you can purchase an ad on this podcast. It's $100 for a commercial message, $50 for a personal message, such as a birthday or a shout out or what have you. Go to previously.tv/ads for more info.
Don't forget, you can also purchase a Dave word.
You can, and I always
forget.
For the
more budget-minded of you.
If the Dave word is $20 or $25, Dave is back from peeing.
My dignity is only worth $20.
In fact, that seems high, but you can submit a word for Dave to say. If you're a listener to our sister podcast, Extra Hot Great, you know Dave is a mushmouth. So if you give him something hard, it can be very entertaining. Oh, no. I said hard and mouth in the same sentence. Sorry, everybody. Now that Dave is back, let us do this podcast. Sarah, anything else before we begin?
I don't think so. Oh. You can follow us in two places on Twitter.
Yes.
You can follow the site proper at Previously TV. And
yes.
You can follow this podcast at AWT90210.
Yes. We like to see your comments there. Thank you for following us on
Twitter. Get on with it.
All right. To the episode, Season 6, Episode 2, Buffalo Gals. There's really no way to untangle this. So once again, it's the A/only story. The Beverly Hills crime wave rages on, and also it's Kelly's birthday. So as we open...
Before we begin...
Yes.
I just did a bit of research to confirm that, in fact, they moved Kelly's birthday.
I have that in my notes.
Oh,
yes.
You know what?
They did.
Not to interrupt, but I do have some site business.
Okay.
Our moderator... Listen, did the tallies for last season, you know?
Yes.
Oh, yes,
know?
That's right.
That.
Thank you so much, Listen. We love to see how wrong we were about our guesses for the season, or at least I do.
So you can go to the forums to the Beverly Hills thread, and the pin topic is the winners and losers tally. But season 5 just finished. What's the tally? Your pick, Tara, was Val for MVP.
Sure.
Your points, if you took all the individual episodes, were Val 10, Claire 5, Cindy 4.
Ah!
And then others.
Yep.
Sarah's winner was also Val, and she had 7 points to Steve's second place 3 and Deshaun at 2.
Okay.
Loser of the week, loser of the season for Tara was Dylan.
Yeah.
Even though he got 4 points for episodes versus Brandon 7.
Mm.
And Sarah's pick for loser of the season was Kelly. And she had 10 points in first place in her tally versus Brandon. Brandon having 7. So
okay.
Sarah is consistent and you are not.
Well,
honorable mentions from David T. Cole go to Wind Chimes, Broiler Guy. And a twofer for Dylan's biotech company in Quiznos.
I don't even remember the broiler. I don't even remember what that was.
I don't know.
Okay. Anyways. Oh, maybe it was the boiler guy when Sarah had the boiler problem. Did that happen while we were recording a podcast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Boiler.
Oh, is that what it was?
Not yeah. broiler.
That's what it says.
Because that was like two different sets of boiler problems. Wow. This could not be more boring for you, the listeners. Unfortunately, this episode is
I think
not
it's fascinating.
To...
These are the kind
you think
of...
a lot of things.
All right.
All right. So enough with the past of season five. Let us move boldly forward to season six. Our A-only story, once again, the Beverly Hills crime wave rages on, and also it's Kelly's birthday. So as we open, Donna and Ray are still in the outs, but Donna's trying to make up, even though he went out of town and has been ignoring her calls. Who can blame him? Claire thinks Ray should be calling her, and Donna decides she's right. Claire adds that lying to her parents about where she found that ring makes her girlfriend of the year. Plus, they have to go to get a birthday present for Kelly, so now that's happening. And as I have in my notes... Remember when Kelly's birthday was in the late spring when they were seniors in high school and she was all up on diet pills because the show's writers don't? It's really...
No, they certainly don't. It also appears, although I can't totally confirm this, that her mm-hmm. birthday used to be like the same as mine,
yeah.
functionally. The right. first episode aired March 24th.
Uh-huh.
And mine is shortly before that.
These are how terrible fan theories are started.
It's
so
true.
What we have is Kelly and Kelly 2. Right? Somehow they're identical twins born
oh,
6 months
God.
Apart.
Yeah.
And that's why she's always going out with different people.
We do not need
actually two
more than one Kelly. I know that.
Holy
no.
shit. You know what? So Kelly 1 was the turn.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly 2 is the something or other. And then what's the prestige?
No, the turn is the middle one. The prestige okay. is the last. I forget right. what the show maybe. Anyway,
yes,
really way off topic.
We still haven't heard a clip, folks.
No, we have Hi. Not. Brandon shows up with flowers.
Sorry.
He wanted to be the first person to wish Kelly a happy birthday. Uh-oh. And he wants to go in and give them to her, but Claire expertly blocks for Kelly. Brandon also tries to get Val and Ginger invited to the party, but Claire doesn't think that's likely. As of now, everyone's just living in the wrecked house. Brandon proceeds down the hall and runs into Colin coming out of Kelly's room. He is chill about introductions. Kelly is slightly more jumpy behind Colin. Obviously, this is awkward, but Brandon looks a fool, so I am happy. I'm sure that Sarah agrees.
Yeah. Basically.
So then Steve is at the storage unit where all of the old Walsh furniture is getting loaded into a truck to be moved back in while Ginger and Val stand by pointlessly. Brandon shows up to give a quick recap of the hallway horror, but says that Val and Ginger are now invited to the party because of how uncomfortable Kelly was, which is a little bit funny.
Yeah.
And then there's a montage that is supposed to make us believe that books are on shelves before furniture is in place, which is not how anyone has ever moved in anywhere ever in the history of furniture.
And Val puts down the same occasional bowls with the table in the same place mm-hmm. five times.
Yeah.
I went back and counted. Like,
yeah. Well, they're trying the furniture in different places. So this is supposed to be like the new era of the kids in the Walsh house because now the living room is oriented a different way. Who cares? Should we not have seen some kind of discussion about Jim and Cindy just eating the cost of their mortgage with all these freeloading punks living in their house? I guess not. So never mind. Meanwhile, Dylan comes in to act all mysterious about the dumb op he and Brandon are trying to run on Tony Marchette. Val keeps trying to get him to come to breakfast with him, but he puts her off curtly and she gets all wounded. Make new friends, Val. Upstairs, Dylan looks through the dossier that Brandon has improbably assembled, which includes his company's annual report and clip number two.
I also got a gift file from the internet of his driver's license.
Oh, the internet. Are you sure it wasn't a bitmap file? That was for you, Dave.
Thanks.
You are welcome.
Do I have to stop pronouncing it with a hard G just because Dylan Brandon does? Because I'm not prepared to do that. Also, why would his driver's license be on the internet? Anyway, they are both morons in clip number three.
Doesn't look like a killer to me.
What does a killer look like, Brandon? And why is this all blacked out right here?
Freedom of Information Act. It's not quite as free as it's cracked up to be. There's a lot that's classified.
Of course. Got to protect the rights of the murderers.
I have so many questions. Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, okay. Mine is like, so you got it on quote unquote good authority from the guy's fellow mobster, allegedly,
mm-hmm.
that he killed your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe verify anything that he said
yeah.
while removing the poo from your pants after your tram ride. like, I also have many questions, but they all come back to that one, which is like, what the fuck are you doing? This is not verified. Do you have any other questions outside of that?
Yeah. Are we supposed to think that Brandon filed a FOIA request? Because I doubt it. Like, I
got the results in
like
2 days?
2 days later. Yeah. Mm-mm. No.
Excuse me, Mr. Walsh, would you like to pay for expedited information? It's only an extra 25 cents.
Anyway, then there's some stupidity with Dylan finding Kelly's ring and ordering Brandon to take it back. And they both bitterly say they're still going to their birthday party, even though Brandon met the loser she's seeing now. Clip 4.
So much for I choose me.
I mean, he's kind of not wrong.
No, he's really not. And also Colin and his stupid tint in hair and crappy art, like... Not like coming from Brandon,
mm-hmm.
whatever, but he's kind of a loser.
He's so douchey. It really starts in this episode and it continues to the next one and it's bad in both. Colin is not an upgrade.
No.
Which is saying something. And then David is setting shit up on the stage of the Greek when another dude comes to tell him there's a phone call for him and he sighs and asks if it's his mom again. So A, she's still in the picture, and B, David's concern for her is apparently gone, but it's Kelly. She's coming there for her birthday thing that night, and she's asking for 2 more seats for Val and Ginger. And then at her end of the phone, Colin comes out with pancakes in a nod to his own childhood memories. No one cares. Brandon then at the Walsh house tries to make house rules. Steve is not receptive, but quickly changes the subject to clip number 5.
And what are you going to do about that, huh?
About what?
That noxious, toxic Bob Marley ganja stinker that Valerie's puffing on upstairs.
Man, I've told her a million times no grass in the house.
Well, I think I have the perfect punishment for her.
What's that?
She'll have to play basketball with me.
Where's the punishment in that?
She'll have to play naked.
Val, not in the house!
Also, grass? Is that what kids were calling it in the 90s? You tell me, Sarah.
You tell us, pothead.
They would say pot, right? Or weed, I assume.
Yeah.
All right. Also, were we
think they called it wacky tobacky.
Are we supposed to think that Steve doesn't smoke weed? Because I don't. I think that he probably would, given everything else we know about him.
Yeah, that's where we got ours, was frat guys. Like, shut up, show.
I thought you were going to say it's where we got ours from Ian Ziering. He was, this is a sideline.
Yeah, but when we cut upstairs, we see that Ginger is, in fact, the one who is smoking, and Val immediately sputters at her to stop in clip 6.
No reefer in the house.
Oh, reefer is it now?
Oh, yes, marijuana with an H.
Mark your bingo card. Mary Jane is still in play.
I need Mary Jane for the win.
Ginger can't believe that Brandon is so straight and is disgusted that he just moons over Kelly all the time. Good call, Ginger. She's more into Steve, which Val chalks up to his platinum card. And then Ginger changes the subject to the shitty party they now have to go to in clip 7.
That's why I wanted to get stoned. The party sounds so lame. The Greek theater? You stop it. I worked hard to get us invited. Hey, you're the one who's calling these people avocado heads. Why do you bother with them?
It's my business. Just stick to the program.
All I know is when I turn 21, I am headed for the tattoo parlor with a bottle of Jack Daniels.
That was your 18th birthday. I was there. Remember?
Ginger for president. Seriously.
Downstairs, Steve and Brandon have a tiresome conversation about shopping for groceries and beer. Brandon goes into the cookie jar to retrieve $200 that he stashed there, but it's gone. Steve suggests that Val took it, and Brandon yells up at her and Ginger about it, but Val denies that she took it. Steve casts suspicion on Ray, given the ring theft, even though we just heard he was out of town for days, but okay. Brandon is sure of Ray's innocence until Steve says he might not be. This is already the season of Brandon folding under Steve's peer pressure, and that basically happens again. But upstairs, we see that Ginger not only took the cash, but has a hollowed out fake hairspray can that she stashed it in.
My man. Do it, Ginger.
Then David shows Jackie and Kelly around the Greek before it opens. Kelly has a positive note for David in clip 8.
I'm glad you finally shaved that beard off.
Us too. However, Kelly is wearing a Donna napkin skirt. Mm-hmm. Barely. It's not even cropped. It's like beyond cropped. It's practically a bandeau. and a teeny little cardigan. Like, mm-hmm. maybe you wouldn't need the sweater if you had a whole outfit on underneath. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Jackie is trying to set up a paparazzi moment for Kelly, which she refuses. We also hear that Kelly's father called very early due to the time difference in Kuala Lumpur, so he's apparently really going to be a thing this season. Great. Ginger and Val are shopping on Rodeo Drive when they run into Donna and Claire getting coffee. Donna and Claire are very bitchy and cold until Ginger shows them the earrings that she just got Kelly for her birthday in clip 9.
Wow, those aren't real sapphires, right?
Well, of course they are. It's Kelly's birthstone.
I guess I went a little overboard, but for Valerie's friends, what the hey?
What'd you guys get her?
I'm not done yet.
Me either.
Well, we're not done shopping. Why don't we wander around together?
Because we're going to Central City.
Wow, desperate times indeed.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
No. But also, like, I just love that they both have to be like, oh shit, now we have to each get 17 more things for fucking Kelly. When Val gets home,
it was just her birthday 6 months ago. God damn it.
Honestly, when Val gets home, she tries to get Brandon to tell her what Dylan was there for, and he dodges in clip 10.
Am I being paranoid, or is everybody excluding me from everything? I mean, Kelly's birthday party, Dylan, and now you?
Sorry, Val. He asked me to keep it confidential.
It's about his father, isn't it? Yeah, I know it. Why don't you just tell him to stop obsessing?
Don't you think I've tried?
Well, then you haven't tried hard enough. I mean, take it from me. You can't bring the dead back to life. And anything you do to try to help them, it's a big mistake.
P.S. This endless moody shot is of Brandon, whose father is perfectly well and alive and did not bad touch him. Spoiler.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, I guess they're laying groundwork, but still, shut up, Brandon. Stupid Dylan waits in a parking lot in his stupid convertible. I know you noted this too, Sarah, with the fucking top down, waiting for a glimpse of Tony Marchette. He somehow has not. Go ahead.
He is wearing, oh my God, he's wearing like a windbreaker that's 88 sizes too big. And
of
then
course.
There's this one shot where he gets out and he's wearing these massive like muffin sneakers. They're not as massive as Brandon's, but they're fairly massive and extremely Seinfeldy and white. The like white jeans that are, I mean, the rise on these things is like 17 inches. He's not wearing a belt. It's yeah. like the daddest outfit. It looks like he's going from there to shoot one of those commercials for like a Beachcombers metal detector.
Mm-hmm.
And his new hair is not great. Like, it's better when Dylan is like in his cups because then he grows his hair out and it goes down over his
yeah.
forehead and
yes.
makes him look less 40. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then he waits until he's right under a light in the parking garage to awkwardly jam his shiny gun into the back of his pants. Like,
well, yes.
Okay, Plexico Burris, good luck with that.
Also, he somehow has not memorized the face of the man he is certain killed his father and still has the headshot from his annual report on the dash. I really cannot emphasize how dumb this is. Eventually, a car pulls up and Tony Marchette gets out. Fucking Dylan has to check the photo again. Just to make sure it's him, and then gets out of his car, as Sarah said, puts the gun in the back of his jeans and runs up to the elevator with Tony. And then he gets in the elevator. He presses his back against the side of the elevator like no one ever does so that he can glare at him so conspicuously. He's so bad at this. He tries to follow Tony into his office, but a bodyguard stops him. And then Dylan stares at the guy for like 10 minutes, I guess, to make sure the guy memorizes his face. And then the guy says he dropped something, which is the photo of fucking Tony Marchette, but which he picks up still folded and returns. This guy, it must be said, isn't great at his job either. But oh my God, Dylan, please give up. You are terrible. There's no clips for that whole scene because it's almost all silent, but it's also entirely all idiotic.
You can definitely check out some of our the parts over which we despaired the most in the visual aids at previously.tv.
Yeah, I made a GIF of like the bodyguard and Dylan staring at each other, which because it's a GIF, it's just loop. But like when you're watching the episode, it just feels like that. Anyway, Donna and Claire come back to the apartment still bitching in clip 11.
I still can't believe those earrings. I mean, do you buy presents like that for people you hardly know?
No, I still owe you a birthday gift.
I really like that.
I know. Very, I know. I get the feeling real. That was an ad lib, too.
Yes, it was cute. Well, the fact that you can hardly hear it over the bags moving does make it seem like perhaps it was. They both agree that Ginger is trying to buy Kelly's friendship, and it probably will work if they're real sapphire earrings. But anyway, Ray is out on the deck waiting for Donna, and let's just say his profile is not Jamie Walter's best angle, which I have in diptych in the visual aids at previously.tv. And Claire comments, clip 12.
Oh, great. Oh, better take inventory.
That's not funny.
You're right, it's not funny. Nothing about Ray is funny.
It's kind of not. She's no. Right about that. But Claire is a good friend, so she offers to go get rid of him, but Donna says she'll talk to him. And when she goes out, she finds out he was in Searchlight, Nevada. Okay. He says there wasn't much there. He just needed to get away. And she passive-aggressively crabs that she guesses there aren't any phones there either. They just relitigate their fight about the ring and repeat all the shit we already know. And she promises to stand up to anyone who isn't fair to him, but says it's pointless if he's not there. So he gets out a different playbook, The Bad Boy, in clip 13.
I'm poisoned, Donna, and I'm just going to drag you down with me.
Not the expression.
What are you talking about? We had the most incredible summer together. You know that. You've changed. I believe you've really changed.
Yeah, well, the summer's over. You're going to go back to school next week, and I'll be playing my guitar and waiting for a break that's never going to come.
Well, poor Ray. Let me just get out my little violin. You know, anytime something doesn't go your way, you just sulk and you run away.
Fine, Donna. Think whatever you want. I just came by to tell you I got your message about Kelly's sting at the Greek. And I'm not interested.
Well, you better get interested. Because either you show up tonight, or don't bother ever showing up again.
Imagine if Kelly's fucking birthday party is the reason that your relationship is hanging on the precipice. Like, oh, can't I want also, to be with you without having to go and pay homage to the queen?
Yeah. Also, while Dave Koz is playing.
I know. We haven't forgot to say that part, too. It's fucking Dave Koz. So then after the commercial, Steve is getting ready for Kelly's party when he goes into his jewelry box, which he has, looking for his watch, which for some reason is scored to this clip 14.
Welcome to the Adult Pleasures Channel at Trump Los Angeles.
Ugh. What was Liz Lemon's name in that ad? Bijou?
Bijou.
I need you.
Yes, you were saying, Sarah?
No, I'm done.
Okay. So Steve yells at Brandon to come in so he can whine at him that it's missing. And then the girls come in after. And Sarah and I both caught this, probably the same shot of Ginger with her party hair, which is like she looks like a B-52. Like it is the biggest hair that anyone ever had with a bob. There must be 7 cans of hairspray in that shit.
Yeah, I mean, as a New Jersey native, I admire the I admire the construction. It does look sort of touchable still, mm-hmm. But she also looks like King Tut. It's huge.
Well, her head is already pretty big because she's, you know, an actress and it's the 90s. So she's got a little like lollipopping happening anyway. But like this just makes her head even fucking gianter. Anyway, Val suggests that Steve left the watch in this bathroom when he took a shower, but Steve says it's a special watch that he doesn't wear every day and he thinks someone stole it. And again, at this point, not even he could possibly think that Ray, who's been out of town for days, could be the culprit, but Brandon says it'll turn up. Steve announces that he's not leaving until they find it. It's a solid gold Cartier Panther watch. Sounds classy. Also, Steve's hair is still very tall. That wasn't just party hair in the season premiere. That's just what his hair looks like now. So, okay, you can see that in the visual aids, too. Brandon accuses Steve of losing the watch in the mess of his room, but it's getting late and they have to go. And then Steve also loses credibility when he has a shit fit about his car keys, which are just on his bed. So off they all depart. And then Kelly goes to pick up Colin at his studio, but he can't hear her knock over his music. And inside, he is starting to be the worst in clip 15.
Hey, you, quitting time.
I don't punch a time card, Kelly.
That's the beauty of being your own boss. You can come and go as you please.
Yes, that's just what it's like.
Wow,
dick.
Beautiful.
It's a canvas only a girlfriend can love.
What's the matter?
This. It sucks.
Don't you think you're being a little hard on yourself?
If I'm not hard on myself, who's gonna be?
Colin, the red and the orange are striking.
What do you know about it? The red and the orange are the worst part.
It's all the worst part.
Look, we're late, and you can't wear that to the Greek.
I'm not going.
Did I hear you right? Did you say you're not going?
Get off my back.
I'm not on your back. It's my 21st birthday. I want you there.
I'll make it up to you. This is my life, Kelly. Okay? You gotta understand that.
I understand. I understand that you're using art as an excuse to be a selfish bastard. It sucks.
I mean, he's being a tool, but so is she. Like, assume that whenever she's on screen and not asleep, she's being a tool.
Yeah.
And she's wearing, like, this, but, like, dumpy, busted maxi dress with these old lady strappy white heat. Oh, God, it's terrible. It's so bad. I hate her so much. I hate her so much.
And meanwhile, at the Greek, LOL, once again, Nat is only invited because he brings the food. This time it's spinach fettuccine, which he yammers on about for a while, ending on this, clip 16.
And I want Kelly's night to be special.
Here's a bunch of free food.
Sarah.
Ew. I want Kelly's night to be special. Like, you're old.
Yeah.
Go away. You can leave the food. Go away.
Yeah, spinach fettuccine sounds pretty good, I have to say. Enter Jackie in a sort of nautical, like, crisscross dress with stars that I think we've seen her in before. Did it look familiar to you, too, or am I crazy?
It did, but I was distracted by the earrings, which are fantastic, and the Jackiest earrings that ever Jackied. And that is really saying something. She's worn some literal From Home Depot door knockers before, but these are really rad.
Hey,
like
she's
them.
Got short hair. She wants you to see her neck. I get it. Anyway, she's telling Kelly about her latest melodrama, which is that some other broad manipulated a situation to make him go back to her. And Kelly says that if she's not complaining about Colin not being there, Jackie doesn't get to complain about Mel, and Jackie agrees. Kelly's determined to have a good time whether he's there or not. Not determined to have a good time, Dylan, who shows up unsmilingly. I actually don't think he's smiled this season at all yet. Kelly's glad he's came. Greetings are exchanged as the Walsh contingent arrives, and Claire directs Val and Ginger to the furthest table and then jokes about them bitchily to Kelly. You know how "you can't sit with us" has turned into like shorthand for girl bullying in like education circles, is like, that's not something you should do, and there are t-shirts that you should not wear and all that stuff. It was a thing on Project Runway Junior last year. This literally is a "you can't sit with us" moment, and they like look at each other and snicker, and it's really not either of them at their best. Come on, Claire, you were an outsider once too.
Well, and you know, this scene ends with Kelly sitting in the shit bird seat, cat butt bird mouth seat, between Brandon and Dylan, and like looking back and forth at each of them, and then making this like simpy stuff face that is so slappable. And I made a nice long slow gif of it.
Oh, good.
Quote unquote, enjoy.
Well, we're not there yet, because first Brandon has to check in on Tony, and Dylan has to recap the whole stupid scene with embellishments in clip 17.
How close did you get? Could have shot him myself, point blank. That's how close.
Not really. You were like totally jumpy and weird, you fucking idiot.
And because your jeans are too big, because you're a stick insect, the gun probably turned itself around in the back there, and you would have grabbed it and shot yourself in the eyeball.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it probably fell out in the elevator. We honestly don't know. But anyway, Brandon amiably jokes that Dylan has too much free time on his hands and that he should go back to school. But Dylan has no sense of humor about anything anymore in clip 18.
Hey, you go to school. I'm learning something.
Yeah. Don't get yourself killed.
If only. And then this is when Jackie shows up to say that since Colin isn't coming, she doesn't want Kelly sitting alone. And both Brandon and Dylan have a polite fight about like who has to sit with Kelly, essentially, even though they're both trying to act like, no, it should be you, really. But Jackie wants them both sitting with Kelly, as Sarah says. And the topic of Colin is awkwardly broached with Kelly. She takes both their hands, as Sarah said, to say it makes him so happy to have them with her. And then Steve tells everyone to hide their valuables because Ray is coming. Literally everyone shuts up and squints unwelcomingly at Ray, who tells Donna correctly that this was a mistake, but Donna won't let him leave and immediately confronts the issue in clip 19.
You guys, I just want to tell you up front, Ray's here with me today. And if any of you have a problem with that, that's too bad.
Donna's fine. Ray's perfectly welcome here.
I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with that.
Steve, stop it.
No, I'm not going to stop it, Brandon. There's a lot of stuff missing from your house. I mean, well, since you seem to have sticky fingers. Look, I didn't steal anything, Steve.
Right. And that ring just appeared in your coat, huh?
Look, you want a piece of me, frat boy? Let's go.
Well, normally I choke on small bones, but...
Hey, come on. Wrong place, wrong time.
Thanks, Brandon.
Look, I don't know why we came here to begin with.
Can we go?
No, we can't. Look, just ignore him.
Yeah, just ignore Madonna. But you're not the one missing her gold watch. I am.
That's it. I've had enough. Happy birthday.
Ray, no.
Donna. Look, every time he goes storming off, you run after him.
Right. Well, he can keep on running. Because that's it for me.
Good girl.
Everything will be okay.
Hey, come on, everyone. We got another hour before the concert starts.
I just love this. What?
Also, I just wanted the next thing for... would be forever to look at him and be like, no, the food is fine, you're still here, but
and also what's going on with Jenny Gartz? Like, every time he runs off, you go running after him. Booby, is that worth it? Like, I know the name of the podcast is Again With This, but we'll leave this to the professionals, will you, Blondie?
Yeah. And then Val chases after Ray to tell him that she knows how it feels, but that he has to come back with her. He accuses her of enjoying his being on the outs and keeps going, but she tells him to trust her and that she can clear this whole thing up. He assumes there will be strings attached and doesn't know why she would help him, but she says she has her own reasons, and he spits that she always does. And then Kelly opens gifts. Claire got her the extremely impersonal gift of a frame with no picture and maybe hates her? Question mark. Really?
Hey, at least she got something, unlike Donna.
Yes, true. Donna starts overdoing it on the champagne because she didn't learn anything at prom. Ginger tells Kelly to open hers next, and Kelly is weirded out but does. And the earrings, I have to say, are actually nice. I would wear them. And they have this conversation in clip 20.
They're really beautiful, but you shouldn't have.
She didn't.
It's not her money.
What are you talking about?
Oh, cut the crap, Ginger. You're the one who had your hand in the cookie jar. You're the thief.
I am not. And even worse, you let Ray take the blame.
You're saying she's the one who took my watch?
I'm saying she took everything that wasn't nailed down.
You can't prove that.
Oh, yes, I can.
What are you doing? Ginger, shut up, okay?
Oh, there's my watch. Hey, Brandon, that your diamond ring? Yeah, I didn't even know it was missing.
How could you do this to me? I have been your friend longer than anyone here. I'm the one that stood by you through the last 10 years.
It doesn't give you permission to steal from my friends.
To hell with these people. To hell with you.
Some friend you got there, Valerie. Lucky for me, she didn't swipe the family jewels.
Look, I'm really sorry, you guys. When I first spent out this afternoon, I didn't know what to do. I should have said something that...
It's not your fault.
I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. These guys owe you big time.
No. No, you don't owe me anything. Whatever you guys thought about me, I probably deserved. I just really want to let you know that I care about you. All of you. I mean, friend or no friend, I couldn't let Ginger get away with this.
Well, I just want to tell you that I can't believe this. I mean, you saved Ray, and, well, I mean, if it weren't for you, I think what she's trying to say is thank you from all of us.
That means a lot to me.
Gross.
Also, it's Ginger, laying it on a little thick with her performance. What? Anyway.
Yeah, and they both are. It was like, I'm so sorry, you guys. And then Donna has to be like, well, you saved Ray. Like, we got it.
Seriously. Also, Jesus. It's clear Jamie Walters, as we've said many times, is not a great actor, but it's clear that Ray can tell that Val is behind the whole thing. And as Val goes to catch up with Ginger, Steve apologizes to Ray, and Kelly has to make a thing of the fact that among the things that Ginger stole is the ring that Brandon had bought for her. He says he was hoping she would wear it someday. Yeah. Dylan offers to take it back, and they fake fight, and Kelly asks what she'd do without the two of them, like she's their mom or something. It's very father of the baby, father of the bride, oh, from season 4 moment with Andrea. But anyway,
yeah,
now she's the definitely. New Nana, as Sarah noted in the season 5 finale. Kelly is the new Nana. And then fucking Dave Cause takes the stage.
Hey, we cut different pictures, but I think we can agree. Dave Cause's band is making the most of their opportunity.
They are having
Fox Television Network.
Yes, I made a GIF of the keyboard guy that I will enjoy having in my reactions folder forever. I showed it to Dave yesterday. He's just bopping back and forth with his shoulders. It's funny. But anyways, Dave Cause is a saxophone guy. Who cares? Forever later, Val brings Ginger to the airport because it's TV, we're supposed to think they haven't talked for the whole ride. And if you didn't see this coming, I really hope you didn't vote in the last election. Clip 21.
I have only one thing left to say to you. Where's my money?
All right. You burned every penny.
You don't have to count it. One con to another.
Yes, I do.
Next time we pull off a scam like this, let's do it for the big bucks. Well, there are more important things than money.
Well, I'd say that you're in with these guys for life now. Maybe they'll erect a statue of me in the peach pit. St. Valerie.
Okay.
I cannot believe how stupid they are. I mean, falling for this?
Well, I just want to believe the best in people. Is that so wrong?
Careful now. You're starting to sound like an avocado head. Just tell me one thing. Why did you go to so much trouble?
Well, maybe I like avocados.
I mean, we all love avocados, but that's such a long ago callback. She called them avocados in like her avocado heads in her first episode, like
yeah,
a season ago. Anyway.
And I really wish that they would be consistent about, like, again, if this were all part of like a longer con, so that she could be installed in the bosom of the gang.
Right.
And then, I don't know, just like fleece them one by one. Mm-hmm. I'd be totally fine with that. They're all dill holes.
Yes, indeed.
Except Claire. Claire's fine. But it's like, Jesus Christ. Like, for them to get on Kelly's good side? Kelly doesn't even have a good side.
Nope. Moving on. Ginger is going to Maui, not Buffalo. Val will not expect a postcard if Ginger knows what she means, but Ginger is still her best friend. In her room, Donna is drunk and literally swinging on a pole. I mean, it's a bedpost, but still, you can see the GIF and the visual aids because those are stripper moves for sure. She gloats that Ray was innocent and she knew it the whole time. And he's just glad her friends finally believe it. She agrees that they were mean to him and flirtatiously asks how she can make it up to him. Honestly, I think strippers might wear more than she currently is. She's in like a crop top tied under her boobs and the shortest skirt. I mean, a Donna length skirt, which is very, 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 very short. But Ray is not wasted and tells her she should go to bed. She thinks she's not tired and offers to let him take her top off, and he won't. So she starts doing a striptease and he tries to settle her down and says he'll leave if she doesn't. And that leads to clip 22.
No, don't go. Look, make love to me tonight.
No!
Don, you don't know what you're saying. It's the booze talking.
No, I want you.
Not like this.
Fine. Will you hold me?
That I can do.
Tighter, a little tighter. Yeah, ow! I want you.
Great. Now I've got the diabetes.
awful. Her giggle, so bad. Anyway.
And then his attempt to giggle is also bad. Poor Jamie Walters. Truly. Free Jamie Walters.
Yeah.
Oh.
At the house, the guys discuss what a jerk Colin is for standing Kelly up on her birthday. It's like he doesn't know she's Kelly Taylor or something. That's me, not them. They all agree that she didn't look upset and then argue about which of them was dating her when she looked best. Gross. After Steve leaves, Dylan changes the subject to Tony, thanking Brandon for the file. He doesn't know what he's going to do with it yet, and they have this exchange in clip 23.
Just don't do anything stupid, okay? I don't want to get charged with conspiracy.
Don't worry about it.
I worry.
Don't.
But I do. But how about no?
You shouldn't. I should. Etc. Val flances in and says she delivered Ginger to the airport since Ginger couldn't stay there any longer after everything. And Brandon and Dylan both pretend they care whether Val is upset. And finally, she admits, in air quotes, that it was hard to see Ginger go. But there are lots of people who care about Val. And she hopes so because putting Ginger on the plane meant saying goodbye to a whole other life. And Dylan says this, clip 24.
You did good.
You're not her dad.
No.
You're not even her dad, Junior Brandon. Barf to you both. Kelly is out on the deck when Ray comes out to ask if he can sleep on the couch. And they discuss what Donna is like when she's drunk. Kelly calls Ray a good guy in our final clip.
Well, I'm no saint, but I'm no thief either.
I know.
I'm sorry all that had to come down at your party. In fact, I'm not even sure if I got to wish you a happy birthday.
Yes, you did.
How about thank you for the birthday wish? What's wrong with you? I mean, she does eventually say it, but like, instead, it's like clear that she was keeping track of who did and did not pay her the proper obeisance. She's fucking worst.
Yeah, she's really bad, and it's not going to improve. Boo. No.
She says that despite everything, she did have a happy birthday, but then Colin rolls up, still in his painty t-shirt with her gift. She stomps inside, so he rudely yells through the door, it's very late, to make her come out. And in the parking lot, he makes her close her eyes and leads her to the center, where he somehow gathered a bunch of people in their cars to turn on their headlights all at once to shine on his very terrible birthday cake painting. It's impossible to describe, obviously, it's in visual aids, but I'll just say...
The Sistine Crapple with cake.
Yeah. Also, in the last episode, he was shitting on her for her, like, Pier 1 poster in the apartment. And this, like, could absolutely be already in a frame at, like, a sub-IKEA furniture store. It's so shitty and generic and dumb.
And garish. And that pink. Yeah. Bleh.
It's awful. Kelly loves it because her taste.
And those shoes. Where did you get them? JCPenney's?
Kelly loves it because her taste is bad. She also loves Colin. The end. Let's wrap it up by naming the episode MVP. Ginger, who wanted to get stoned before Kelly's bad party, who pulled off the con, even if it was for the wrong reasons, and who had the biggest hair in all the land, is my pick.
Yes, for all the reasons that you stated, Ginger.
All right. The birthday girl, Kelly. Fuck off.
Dylan.
All right, well, that segues nicely to the Kim Dylan.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
Five ways in this episode Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Well, as extensively discussed, he's bad at surveillance.
He is bad at not dressing like a 68-year-old retiree in Vero Beach.
It's dangerous to just stick a loaded gun in your pants, no matter how skinny
really
you are.
It's also bad if you can't recognize the guy that you're fixing to assassinate without carrying a printout of him everywhere you go and almost getting yourself killed in the process.
And once again, he's still mad about Kelly, even though he was putting the moves on her when she was 100% in a relationship with someone else, which it's not his place. Shut up, Dylan. And that makes five.
Next time on the Hotel Sex Channel. Dylan meets Noxzema Girl, Brandon meets a feminazi, and Valerie re-meets Colin. And St. Kelly of Catbutt Mouth is not happy. Your retinas will not be happy when you visit our visual aids at our website at previously.tv, where you can find visual aids for this and all the other Again With This episodes. You can follow us on Twitter at previously.tv and follow this podcast at AWT90210. This sexophone is going to destroy me. So I'm just gonna power through this. I'm Noxious Ganja Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. I'm here with cake painting Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is frat boy David T. Cole. You can find him on Twitter at Glark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
Stop!
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.